Hello, buddy, and welcome to Dollars. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Yeah, really good, Alan. Welcome to the studio. I'm not used to the studio moving, though, so just hold on. The studio is underway.
Yeah, we are in your car, driving to Mount Gambier. We're just going to see what happens. We might make a couple phone calls, chat to a couple people. And yeah, could be our best ever, could be our worst ever. We'll find out. We'll try to keep it under 4 hours. But with that, how long? We've got 4 hours to Gambier, so maybe not.
Maybe not. We've got someone in the back seat.
Who's that?
Hey, Kaelin.
Hello, folks. How's it going?
Doing very well. You beat us. I said we're going to leave a little early and piss you off, but you got there. Keen to get out to Gambier?
Frothing.
Very, very keen.
What are you more excited about? To be on the pod or play Gambier?
Oh, I mean, obviously on the pod.
Yeah, correct. Beautiful. All right, we've got a big one today, so we'll punch right through it. First pretty cool thing is some people were using the Dollars sign-up code for the Rudolph Riot.
Yeah, unreal. So not advertised via our socials, just advertised via the pod. And yeah, they went into a draw to, they're going into a draw to win a pretty sick disc. And yeah, there's been a handful.
Yeah, we got, Aiden Howard, Chris Scott, Dan Frawley, Mikey Hare, Narada, Penn, and Sebastian Gutierrez. So you guys are all confirmed listeners to Eat Shit. Can't hide from that now. But yeah, you're all in the draw to get a nice sweet disc. So, anyone else who isn't and plans on playing the Rudolph Riot, just use code ROLLERS when you do so, and you might get yourself a tasty little Rudolph Riot disc.
Get around it.
Yeah, are you playing, Kaelin?
I am not. I'd love to be, but headed to the Philippines, so
sweet.
I'll cry at the beach.
Yeah, we got that slide. That's right. We also have, I have a fun little thing going on. I've mentioned this many times on the pod before. The Adelaide disc golf people are the most fun out of any of the disc golf people in Australia. They come up with all the fun stuff. And there's a new division that's going to be played at the Eruption called MA Fun.
Yes.
And, of course, I'm all over it. I jump right in. But one of the boys has created, my best way to describe it is kind of like a scavenger hunt type situation, where he's made a little booklet and you need to tick off things during your round. And I don't know the rules yet, but it's only a cheeky fiver to enter, so we'll figure it out. But I guess whoever gets the most of these things wins at the end. You get bonus points for things like getting your disc wet, sledging your mates, an impulse buy at the shop, nicing someone, rollaways, all this kind of stuff. So something happens here, bang, you can tick that off. You get bonus for tree hits and OB strokes. I'm keen. I can't wait to get my hands on it. If anyone else is keen and playing, come see me. I can point you in the right direction of the man himself. But yeah, $5 entry, get a little booklet, you tick it off over the weekend, and the winner takes home all the cash, I think.
Yeah, sick.
So that's pretty cool. But that is not the only thing that the Adelaide people got going on. We're heading to what tournament, Chris?
We're heading to the Eruption.
The Eruption. Well, some people who are staying behind in Adelaide are playing the Corruption.
What?
So I feel like something like this happened last year as well. Youngblood Roche over in Adelaide, great bloke. He has organized the Corruption. I don't have the rules, but he says, if you haven't signed up, get around it. Bring your best cheat codes and let's see if we can get one over on each other. May the filthiest, lyingest dirtbag win. So they've got a metrics event and you must have some rules about how you can cheat. I don't know. I don't know. That's the point. They always come up with these fun little side games. And especially when there's a big event on and they want to have some fun as well if they can't make it. So, shit form, come to the Eruption, but if you can't, go play
the Corruption. There you go.
All right, we put some word out on the socials to see if anyone wanted to have a bit of a chat with us on the drive, because now we have the fancy studio, we have the facilities
yes.
to be able to dial people in.
Yes.
So we're going to dot them in throughout the pod. So first up, we might give Timmy B a call. So,
awesome. Get him on.
Hey, Chris, how you doing, mate?
Good, dude. How you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks.
You on the road?
Just left. Just doing the last bit of packing before I left before, so you're welcome. You made me forget something. I'm absolutely sure of that.
Awesome. Hopefully it was your Frisbees.
Yeah. Actually, shit, have I got those? Yeah, no, I got those.
What are you excited for coming up to Eruption this year? We got a couple course changes with some OBs and stuff, a lot of trees down. What's getting you juiced for the trip?
Still hole 17 and 18. Got some redemption to have on those holes. I think I had that one round where I got a 10, obviously, in 17.
You had a 10? I've never heard about this 10.
Well, you heard about a 10. People may have missed the triple OB 7 that I got on hole 18 as well. So we're hoping to make amends for that.
Was there any consideration to dropping into the B pool so that you could play hole 17 from the lower tee pad?
I mean, not for that particular reason, but dropping down into the B pool every single day of my life.
That's it. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. It's always good fun, the 17-18 combo. Can't wait to grab a frothy and sit on the grandstands and watch everyone chump it up. So that'd be nice.
I have been glued to the best Instagram account in Australia, which is Cam Agritansky, having a look at all the hole previews and whatnot. So I'm just very, very keen to see what it looks like out there.
I've got a question in regards to that, Timmy. Like, where do you stand on that throw across hole 18? That's not a real flight, surely.
That's like some sort of AI-generated throw. I don't know how he's done it, but that's what he's done.
Yeah. He's got some skills, because there's no way that's a real throw. Like, that was 20 metres short, hyzering out, and then it just flips out of nowhere.
I don't know. It was so funny. Dan Frost posted about one of the holes at Bolong Champs, and the flight on the map was just so unorthodox. Dan Frost was like, someone teach me how to throw this shape for sure. And I was like, well, Cam just threw it. I don't know how he did it. You need to go speak to Cam, because you need to flip up to the fade and then start to turn the last step.
Yeah. Now that was wild. I love it. It fills me with a lot of confidence, that it fills him with a lot of confidence, and he's going to throw over every single time until he inevitably lands in the hazard somewhere. So big number. That was Matty Farina, or better known as Matty 13er. But that was pre-hazard, and Cam did the exact same thing last year and caught the extra stroke, so he got a 14. So he's the record holder, and I reckon he's going to break it again.
Yeah, sweet. Mate, that hole, I'm still salty about that hole. I was OB short by a centimetre, resting up against the placards. Then I was OB long by a centimetre, and then I hit the tray from 15 metres, and that rolls OB. So I had to hit a 10-meter putt to save a 7 last year. And this is after I've had a 10. I'm thinking, I'm going to get an 11 here. What the hell?
We've got Kalen in the back seat here. He hasn't played Eruption yet, but he's hearing all this. And what's going through the head there, Kalen?
Oh, I'm thinking about the high numbers. I'm very intrigued about how this might play out for the lower divisions. But I've also got a question for you, Tim. So I was there at Tintinara earlier this year, and I saw you run into a little bit of trouble late with a misreading of one of the rules. Can I ask you?
It might be a non-reading of the caddy book.
It might be. Can I ask you, are you read up on the caddy book? Have you learnt your lesson?
Nah. Really, mate? I rock up and I bank on the three other people in my car to tell me all of the silly rules and all the silly, this is a man-no, this is a drop zone, this is a hazard. Just someone will tell me on the card. And it just happened at Tinty that I played with two of the under-12s, and they also didn't read the caddy book, so that was my fault. And Garrett Morgan, who's basically another under-12. So we've only got ourselves to blame for that one.
Serious question, Timmy. You missed out on Big Wet, didn't notice you at the small little Melbourne events. Something in particular keeping you away from the game at the moment?
Yeah, I had a bit of a foot injury that I was playing through, and I just kept playing poorly and it was getting worse, so I decided to have a big break. And I think it was October, though. It was August, actually. I think I just played like four comps in a row. I think I went to Queensland, Molong, and then Tinty might have been thrown in, and all of the weather was not great, and I just didn't play well, and just was pretty burnt out. So just gave myself a nice big break. I've been back relearning how to throw this week, so I'm excited to see how it goes down on one of the hardest courses in the country.
Awesome.
Yeah, fun to miss those, because I was looking forward to Big Wet. I was looking forward to the
Kingston City Classic. So we finally put together a non-shit Melbourne tournament course, and you're like, you know what? I'll let that one slip. You've been begging for it forever. They were actually pretty good. It wasn't ridiculous OB. It played naturally hard. They were well designed. And you'll never get a chance to play it. So sad.
I'm shattered. I'm absolutely shattered.
Before we let you go, we just got to get you to describe something to Kaelin. The real reason we actually do come to the eruption is simple. It's Scroll Queen. So what can Kaelin expect from Scroll Queen? I'm sure this is the first time he's heard those words.
Yes.
I mean, you just roll into Scroll Queen and you go, which ones just came out of the oven? And you say, I'll take two of those. It's just like heaven, mate. I've already committed. I'm going to eat one cinnamon scroll for every OB stroke I get.
Uh-oh.
So I could be the size of a house at the end of this comp.
Wowee.
No, I love that. All right, well, we appreciate your time, Tim. We'll let you move on, and we'll see you in a few hours.
Thanks, boys. Have a safe trip. See you there.
Cheers. See you, mate. All right, we got him. Yeah, Scroll Queen. Did we mention that to you, Kaelin?
Not in the slightest. I'm feeling keen for some scrolls right now.
Yeah, that sounds good. They're elite. They are elite. You normally get like a coupon for a free one in your players pack, and then we always got to check. We normally get caught out because one of the days they're shut.
Yeah.
And we're sad, but got to load up. They've got some savory ones and some very sweet ones. Oh, Scroll Queen is elite.
Yeah. Not a fake sponsor. This place exists.
Yeah, all right, we'll move on a little bit to the Bald Hill Social Day that happened on the weekend. I was playing Street League on Sunday, so I had no thoughts of showing up to a social day the day before, but lots of people did. Did you get out there for that one, Kaelin?
No, I was also playing Street League and not inclined in the slightest.
Nah, fair enough. Well, we did have a few people.
It was a big turnout, I thought.
Yeah, we had a few people way at the top, some hot numbers. The best scores of the day coming from the Nutman, Sven Nutman, coming to back-to-back social days, which hasn't happened for him in forever.
Yeah.
But himself, Ryan Deere, Penn Lou, and Brett Siebel, all with Meg Kent around Ball Hill.
That puts my trawler's guarantee in a bit of jeopardy, but I'm sure we'll get to our big. I'm sure three B grade players maybe did better than that.
Well, unless Sven, Ryan, and Brett Siebel are all in B grade, then no.
Okay, damn it.
The trawler's guarantee was going to look pretty good for a minute, though, right? Penn reached out. What were you able to tell us?
Yeah, he was like, sorry, Alan, but I'm going sidearm only. Just to warm up the sidearm for the weekend. And to be honest, you would have shot -9. And I was like, this doesn't actually help you, Penn. I know you think it does, but it doesn't.
Yeah, so sidearm only for Penn, still gets a neck 10. Pretty impressive. I'm assuming the PB for him. Brett Siebel as well. That's got to be... Like, he's played that course a billion times, but that's got to be there or thereabouts.
The social day PB for sure for Brett.
Yeah, and still way over mine, so very, very frustrating. we had Juan Raider there up next 7 as well. Eamesy popping off for a sexy next 6. So I didn't know Easy is in town.
Yeah, but Queensland course is treating him well.
Yeah, and our boy Bacanti there at Neg 6 as well. So he...
Bogey free,
let's have a look. Yep,
yeah.
Bogey free Neg 6. He reached out to see if 75 above his rating was good enough for a spotlight. It isn't, but we do love it when people reach out. If you play good, hit us up. We love it. We love a bit of have a look at me. So no spotlight, but everyone, have a look at him.
Have a look. It's good.
I'm seeing Martin Goh's name here as well with a Neg 5. Did I happen to read out what's his name thing yet?
Yeah.
Mike Vanderlinden?
I think if you look down one more stroke, you might find him.
Let's go. Mikey Vanderlinden with a Neg 4. So Martin Goh gets it done by one.
Yeah.
Big.
How did I point you up for that?
I'm pretty sure that was a 6. Yeah, 6 for that. That gets me up to 38. So we'll have to wait to the end to see whether Max Pat's made it into the top half of the handicap or not. Have you got it up, Caelan? Have you seen any names of note?
I'm seeing a name in negative numbers at least, which isn't the worst. Matthew Farina. Hashtag the return.
Just want to
call that one out.
Hashtag the return.
Yeah, good mention. Well spotted.
Top half of the field. Not bad.
Yeah, the other big returner was Sammy Barnett. It was funny. For anyone who has Park Media on Insta, they did a little story and Ash was talking about the return. He's got the camera on him and over the shoulders, Matty Farina. And I'd seen Sam Barnett's name on the list. I was like, these guys are fools. They're picking the wrong return. But after a nice, big, long speech, Ash goes, whoop, and turns the camera around to Sam Barnett, the real return. So cool to see him back in. But pretty trash shooting. Neg 1 after the game of the big G up.
Yeah, true.
He was dominating overseas, and then he comes back here, got to play those hardball hill courses, and any shit. So, what's going on, Barney?
Give me a return versus return. What did Farini shoot?
Oh, have you got Matty Vaz right up there?
Matty Vaz won better than Sam Barnett.
Oh, there it is.
Well, you can't be having that. You can't be losing to Matty on his return bout. Anyone else standing out for you there, Caelan?
No, that's all for me.
Well, I'll go through some of the division winners. We had Johnny Martin with an even beating Jace Wiedner in Div C. Is Jace Wiedner just always podium at Social Days now in Div C?
He must be making bank off the Melbourne club.
Yeah, he's got to be. So surely he'd be moving up in a minute, I would think. Bacanti, no surprises, winning Div B, two strokes clear of Levi Norton. Levi's coming around, though. The kid's getting good. And then, yeah, we spoke about the Div A boys, the big Neg 10s. So, Div A handicap, Brett Zeeble gets the win. The Div B, Bacanti gets the win. So, the runner-up gets it because of his dominance in the raw score. And the Div C handicap is Ben Hare.
There you go. Come on, give me some Max Tats info.
So, yeah, I'm having a look at the overall handicap leaderboard now. There are 55 people with a handicap 20, score.
27 or better.
27 or better. I'm scrolling, and I see Doug Adams, Max Tats, and Matthew Rushton, and Toby Beasley somehow all tied for 25.
Oi!
So it was pretty scary. That is crazy that they all ended up tied like that. We said
they don't tie.
A couple months ago, you'll never see ties again. And every pod there's ties. So I don't know how it works, but there you go. So Max, that gets it. You get yourself
5
points, which brings you up to 38. We are tied.
We
are tied. Big. Alright, so we all know that the Street League is the Social Day is just a warm-up for the
Street League.
Even though it was the very next day, but we will have a look at that. We were finals time. So the Wallies somehow cheated, I think, and they beat us, and they got into the grand final directly.
Correct.
So they did not have to play in the morning. They were waiting for the winner of our matchup and Brennan's disc golf team. Just a reminder that Brennan's disc golf team bullied the Bullies to get their way in here after being the worst team all year.
Yes.
So I just wanted to really make sure that was out there.
Yeah.
And we didn't have you. I was a little worried about that. We didn't have you. When you lose one of the top guys and it shifts the matchups up, it gets a little squirrely. But it wasn't looking too bad. We had some matchups that I thought could have really gone either way. So you're on standby for when we got the win.
Yes.
Top down in the afternoon for the great. Didn't quite pan out that way.
No.
Bit of a whitewashing, actually. So, yeah, you guys weren't there in the morning, but Ryan Deere showed up right as we're about to tee off. I was calling for a forfeit, but he managed to make it. But he gave two strokes in the first two holes, bogey, straight to Ville. And I'm like, let's go. We're on here. But then Phil slowly but surely misputted his way to a four down. So Diros gets him away with a big one. Brennan versus Stoyer was a very close one the whole way through, but Brennan's he's good at Street League.
Yeah, he's handy.
He's just good at Street League. So he got it done. Bang, two wins all of a sudden. And then myself and Josh Smith were tied all day. Couldn't separate us. I think he won one hole, I won one hole. And we kept going. And it got to three holes left. But by then, it was done. Jacob Cruden and Johnny Hadlecruz had gotten it done over Tim Stevenson, Taron Anderson. Ash Wiedner, Brett Siebel had gotten it done over Max Tatz and Mike Jeffcott. Pretty handy victories for both of them. I ended up playing a couple holes in the end with Joshy Smith. He beat me on the next one, so he probably would have had me in the end anyway. So it goes down as a 5-0
ouch
loss. I think the only one of the season.
It has to be. Yeah, it is the only one.
Can you remember any 5-0 losses this year, Caleb?
I can check for you, but that's sounding not too familiar, Alan.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be the chain smoked?
The chain smoke, yeah, that's a good one. It didn't feel good, I can tell you that. So I've got to put my hand up here. I picked this team, and it didn't work. It didn't work. So we had a pretty good sniff last week, but didn't get it done. So that one's on me, guys. Sorry for all the chain smokers.
You see it in the AFL often where a team plays their grand final a week early.
Mm.
And we really did. We played our grand final the week early. Narada stole it from us.
Stole it.
You roll up into the granny like a Port Adelaide and you get pumped by 110 points. And that's how it felt.
Yeah. So, yeah, our season's done, but the Brennan's golf team stays alive. So, have a look into the matchups in the grand final. Leo versus Ryan, Big, Brennan versus Daz, Kalen versus Melton Meatball, Narada and Honeyman versus Jacob and Johnny Hadlecruz, Timmy Ware and Sebastian Gutierrez versus Ash Wiedner, Brett Zee. I looked at that and I thought pretty even. I had the Wallies with the advantage, but I didn't think there was anything that was too crazy. Honeyman and Narada I thought was a pretty tasty double duo, and I thought that could maybe do some damage. But other than that, I thought it all could go kind of either way. What about you?
Yeah. Ryan and Leo have been backwards before. You've already said Brendan's had a good season, and Daz has had less of a good season. So there's enough in there to keep Brendan's team interested for sure.
So coming from your side of things, Kaylin, you looked at those matchups. What were you looking at? Was there anything you were like, could be worried here, or were you thinking another 5-0 victory coming up?
I was not thinking 5-0 at all. I'm just going to foreshadow a little here, but Leo was not feeling super confident going into the match against Ryan. Asking Bill how much he lost by as soon as he rocks up. I was a bit nervous about that one. Myself against Josh Smith, obviously. I barely got pushed up into the singles because Narada was not feeling singles. And I had an elbow injury, so not too keen on that. And then looking down at that bottom one, we've got Brett Siebel, who's just come off a negative 10 in Bald Hill. Could have gone either way. Absolutely.
I stuck around. I end up following these guys go. So did a couple of the other Chainsmoker boys, Phil, Max Tats, Karen. So we had a bit of a thing going on. And it was a weird ring-a-ding-ding because it got to runaways reasonably quick, but in both directions. So Ryan Deere really just started touching Leo up early. Dazza did the same to Brennan. Josh Smith took a little while, but eventually he started really giving Kalen the old heave-ho. Jacob and Narada were doing zero against Honey and Guzman, and it was 1,000 pars in a row for the other double. So for people playing along, it was pretty comfortable, well, reasonably comfortable victories going both ways for both sides and then one all square. So I ended up bailing on the singles matchups and going and checking the all square doubles because that was where the game was going to be won
and lost,
in my opinion. Brennan's disc golf team took one and ended up one up, one to play the hole 18 par 4 that goes to the practice basket. So I was walking over there by the time that was happening, fully expecting to be high fives all around. Brennan's disc golf team gets the win. But apparently Sebastian Gutierrez threw a peach of a second shot to give him a very easy birdie, and the other boys could not match. So we go into extra holes, we go to hole 10, and none of them put it anywhere near the basket. They're all well short. But the captain, Timmy Ware, steps up to his drive, I reckon about 12, 13 meters, cans it.
Bang.
Bang. And that would do it. That was enough. The other two matchups, Ryan Deere won very easily. Darren won easily. The other doubles won easily. And that was the Dagger 3. Turns out Kalen was doing some work in the background, though. He had brought it back to Josh Smith. And did you guys end up going to extra holes as well?
Yeah, we did. It was a bit silly because the final was already won by that point. But I wanted to be able to say I had beaten Josh Smith, who I've now found out was a former number two in Australia, which I like the sound of. So I said that to Josh's face, and then he four-putted or three-putted on the next hole. So, got
big,
it done.
Big.
Big.
So, the scoreboard reads 4-1. It doesn't look particularly close, but it really, really was. It was, inches away from a potential Brennan's golf team victory. But it wasn't. The Wallies were the best team all year, and they got it done. When people looking back on it now, the team looks really stacked. And like, how do we not notice this at the start? I feel like, Kalen, you've had a pretty big year, right? You've gotten a lot better towards this back end.
I'd say maybe, start. Yeah.
I can say Sebastian Gutierrez as well was not a name on too many people's radar on the draft, and he has had an excellent year. So two big pickups there, and no one had Narada been able to be an amazing C2 putter.
Yes.
He's become a great putter over the last 2-3 months. No one had that on their vision board, I guess, except for Timmy Ware. So got to give credit where credit's due. Big captain choices. He had guys that played tons of events. Like Dazza went to every single event to pick him with his number one pick, which was bold, but played out great. Honeyman somehow is rated 745, and just, you can put him anywhere you want. I don't really understand that. And taking the gamble on the shift worker, been able to show up. So, yeah, he did the right things and he got the win. You did some stats finally, did you, Caleb?
I did.
I heard. Have you got anything here for us?
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to go through a few key ones that you've spotted for the season? These are season-long stats?
Yes. Regular season.
Regular season, yeah.
Would you like me to call out the awards that Daz handed out?
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great.
Cool. So we did a little analysis of who was best in each position when they were playing during the tournament. So, for example, Ryan Deere comes in as the top-rated. Brennan's plays in the one spot. He gets a win. I put that against his name. Ryan Deere did not get the win for the one spot because Dave Ferry came in and took the one spot for one of the matches they played. So we've got Leo with 3 wins. In the two, Chris Scott with 4 wins, and I'll mention in a second why that's pretty awesome. Then we go down 3, Tim Ware, 4, Narada, 5, Honey, 6, myself, and 7, True. Tran.
That's a lot of wallies. A lot of wallies there.
That's a lot of wallies. Everyone but Chris.
Yeah, that's wild.
And then we had a look at the best differential, and Sam Stoyer and Honey were both tied at 15 up on the whole season. But Sam went undefeated with 5 wins, which is just huge.
Tasty.
And then 2 losses in the finals. Sick. Great for us. yeah, very nice. Was there any other awards? Or
that was it for the awards.
What about some key stats? Were there some players that you had seen that you were like, oh, I didn't realize that guy went like that?
So you may have mentioned his name earlier in terms of playing well at Street League. When we're looking at season performance for the max average win quality, which is taking a stat from Penn last year.
Nice.
At 303%, which is ways above everyone else, we've got Brennan Benton. So that's looking at how you play with your rating versus other people's. And he's just played so, so well in those matchups. When it comes to dominance, Sam Stoyer, obviously, very, very dominant. And then I've got a couple of fun best rounds. So best win quality for the singles went to Chris Scott with one of his rounds where he went 3 up against Marcus.
Yeah, that was frustrating.
Yeah. And for doubles, it was the Ash and Ash pairing. In round one,
yeah,
Anthony Megan and Taryn Anderson with like a 54-point rating deficit.
We called that week one. They said that would be the worst loss of the whole year.
Yeah,
we weren't giving the Ashes any credit. It was not going to be the best win of the year. But Taryn and Tony, we called it that'd be the worst loss of the whole year. It turns out it was correct.
It was.
And I can't believe both the two worst losses of the year go to the Chainsmokers.
Woohoo! The Chainsmokers.
The Chainsmokers. Oh boy. Yeah, so that's Street League for another year. I think there's a couple, I should have written this down, but there'll be a couple two-time champions. I know Timmy Ware, Narada, they were both on two-putt with us last year. Do you remember anyone else that might have been a two-time champ?
Nah, Jace was there on like two-putt. Nah, that was obviously you and me, so nah, maybe not.
I think it might have just been those two, so well done to them. Hopefully you don't repeat next year, but that might be the trick. If you got you're a captain, you got to pick Timmy Ware and Arana.
Yep, get around him.
Obviously, huge shout-out to Dazza. Such a cool comp. We really get around it, and yeah, loads of fun, so looking forward to Street League Volume 3. Next year.
Bring it on. Pre-season has begun.
Pre-season, exactly. Okay, well, the reason we're here is to go to the eruption. So we should probably have a look at the eruption. Have a look at who we think is going to dominate coming into it. We might start down in the MJ15. There's only one guy, but he's fucking good. Are you around Joe Paul? Kaelin, you aware of him?
I've heard the name a couple of times.
Well, that your goal this weekend is beat him. And it's going to be a pretty good goal. It's my goal for sure, and I'm very confident I won't achieve it. Yeah, still clearly under 15 because he's playing an MJ15, but an absolute weapon. He's up to 9-15 rated, but I know he's a lot better than that now. Yeah, I think he's going to spank me. I'm really interested to see how close he'd become to win an MA2 or MA1 even.
He should be my goal as well, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, he's good. he's quite good at disc golf. Absolutely destroyed me in Queensland at the Queensland Open. Not close. I think he would have been second in MA1.
Ouch.
Yeah. In FA4, we've got a pretty hefty field. 6 for FA4 is not too bad. So Taylor Clark is the highest rated there, but they're all pretty consistent. I don't know. I just don't know enough about these girls to have any real confidence in that. But, yeah.
Yeah, not familiar with any of them.
MA4, anything sticking out to you there, Kaelin?
Well, I've just dropped off to no service, so I can't see a thing.
No, okay, well.
The choice of driving in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, Carlton Clerk is leading the way, and he's been doing a bit.
Yeah.
He's been doing a bit, moving his way up the field. So, but being the favourite in MA4 means you have zero chance of winning.
And probably won't podium.
Yeah, sorry about that, Carlton. So, yeah, we might have to have a look at it more in the middle of the field. So someone like Matthew Crawford could get it done. But other than that, I don't know, MA4, throw a dart at it. Which dart are you looking at?
I'm looking at Chris Reimer. He's been having fun at a couple of tournaments I've seen him at. I'd be keen for him to do something.
Nah, sounds good. DNF now because of that, but that's all right. MA3, we can actually start picking a little bit now. There's a bit more going on.
Is it Div Melbourne?
Not at the top. So at the top, a lot of people from SA. Andrew Young, Jackaway, not the highest rated, but the highest rated in our hearts.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, got to get around the high zone, eh?
He's in second there, and I think this is his tournament for sure. He loves this course, lives here. So, but Matty 13R is the third highest rated player in MA3, and I don't condone that. I don't know how that is possible. I think the trollers guarantee might be finding
some legs.
with the Matty Baz right there. Eamsy floating around, Mitch Evers, but yeah, not the biggest of the Melbourne crew. The Wieners are in there though, Max Tats. So who knows, anyone's game. Is there anyone you like, Caelan?
Let's go Carl Herbertson.
Carl Herbertson, all right, terrible pick. No, the Turbo Herbo.
Herbo's been coming.
Yeah,
City Classic.
Yeah.
He was looking good.
Now we were giving him some props the last couple of pods. He's playing all right. So, and it's good that the massive, massive field means that they can get around him before they have to go film. So pretty dope.
Yeah.
FA2, a few more familiar names for us. Kim Michelle making the journey. So pretty good. Margaret Trail, who wins almost everything she tries, is in there. Kate Eldridge and Anita Weber right at the tippy top of the ratings, though. Kate, the local, probably going to be going in as the favourite, but I think I'm going with Margaret. She's a winner. And you've got to be able to know how to win to get the W.
Anita is not, unfortunately, but she's turning it around this weekend. Anita's getting the W.
Yeah, Anita gets it done?
Yeah.
Any names for you there, Caelan?
Know Anita Weber is a name.
All right, well, we'll let you take this one away. MA2, this is your division. Who's the big dog in that? You, yeah, surely.
Oh, obviously me. But perhaps if we look, you know, a subtle 29 rating points above me, we've got Henry Arnold,
the 15-year-old.
Yep.
Just described him as the smallest big dog in the field.
last I saw him, he was like 4 foot tall. So
yeah.
Oh, he's put a growth spurt on.
Has he? Oh, there you go.
He might be coming for Chris.
Oh, that's not good for me. That's not good for us then. Yeah, my goals of beating Henry are probably gone. I think last year's eruption, I had him, and that might be the last time I do it. But Anyone else in there worth worth the time?
Yeah, so looking at Honey as just very consistent lately. Obviously, his ratings are not quite up to his level of play. I think he's going to do something really good. I think if Henry puts him together, he'll play great, but that's maybe asking a bit. And I don't mind myself.
We like that.
Yes, that's what we need.
Tommy Jankar in there as well. Seb Gutierrez, Brett Siebel, Picanti, Penhall, Duncan. So this is Division Melbourne. We're loaded up in this one. So hopefully one of you guys can beat the SA guys. In MA50, no Jeff. He's with some family. So he's actually on his way to the centre of Australia at the moment.
Oh, nice.
So he's going to be having a fun
time. You'll have worse phone reception than us.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Pretty big field in that, as always. Mike van der Linden, the best Melbourneian heading over. But Hank Terpstra there floating around as well, pretty good. James Arnold, he goes all right, Henry's dad. But Nicholas Hall would be my tip. I feel like I tip him all the time. But yeah, there'll be probably a pretty good battle between him and Michael Kenzie.
No Kerry Edwards?
Not that I'm seeing him.
Okay.
No Kerry Edwards. A bit of a surprise there. In the FA40, I reckon Sue Donnelly gets that one done over a pretty good battle for the third place. There's Tanya Beham will be battling out with a couple of the locals, Christy Hallis Thornton, which is a good friend of mine, and Pirate Bucky, who she's a top bird.
Okay.
MA40. I see Paul Arden's name, and when I see his name, I tend to tip him.
Yeah. Paul Arden's got to be close to MA50. How old's Paul?
I don't know. He looks good, but yeah.
That's not a comment on his looks. So just like, when I started playing, I swear he was 40, and that was 10 years ago. That was 15 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. No, he definitely could be pretty close, I think. We'll have to reach out on that one. Peter Gabe, very good as well up there. Lee Thompson, he needs to make up for his horrendous showing in whatever we just had.
Yeah, Kingston City.
Kingston City Classic. John Slowbomb, I'm looking forward to watching him throw discs in the water. There's no way he comes up with all his. But yeah, pretty good battle. But I'm going with Paul Arden.
Ah, big.
The FA1, we've got Georgia Carroll out in front there with a few other girls I'm not too familiar with. So we're just going to say that Georgia's going to get it done.
You got Hussey, Sarah Lee. And Cassie will still come in FBO, I'm assuming?
In FBO, no. We have one name. We have Michaela Kerr.
Okay.
Yeah, all those names you mentioned, I believe, are just gearing up for their trip over to represent Australia and Great Britain.
Correct.
In the World Teams event. So, unfortunately, it is pretty light on Michaela Kerr from New Zealand. The only one there, so we'll have to see how she does against the FA1 girls, I guess. MA1, though, big field, 27 people in the field, which, I can find myself on, like, 7th card or something.
Yep.
Which could be very worrisome. Right at the tippy top, we're seeing Matt Hill and Tom Roden as the...
what a battle. Yeah. What a battle that could shape up to be.
I'm pretty sure Tommy Roden won it last year in fairly convincing fashion. He's very good at disc golf, that man. But Matt Hill with his 6 discs. He is staying with us, though, so probably not too many early nights. We'll see how that could factor in. But they're just a host of it. Like, MA1 is South Australia.
Yeah.
That is what they do. Big names there. Bruce, Gleese, Davis, Jono, Hayden, Kayon, big. All right at the top. All very good. All usually kick my ass. Very, very, very good.
All from South Australia.
All from South Australia. So, yeah. It's got to be tight, this one. I can see Bruce podium, but not winning because he never does. I feel like Roden might go back to back. It'd be tough, but that would be my tip.
What's your goal?
Oh, my goal is just to beat any of those South Australians I just mentioned. That was the goal last year. I came fourth last year. I beat basically all those little bitches.
Yes.
Pretty happy about that. But yeah, now that they changed that one par four and I can't get six birdies in a row, I don't know how we'll go.
Yeah.
My real goal, I tell you my real goal for the weekend is don't start every round bogey,
yeah.
I've never not bogeyed hole one, and that's the goal.
I've never parred hole two. I don't even think I've parred occasionally.
That's crazy. It's so hard.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I got it one of the rounds last year.
That is so good.
Yeah, but I bogeyed hole one every time. So.
If there's trees down, I hope they're down on hole two.
Yeah.
Just please be like no trees on hole two. And then I will still struggle to par.
Penn's in there, so beating Penn also a big quality goal of mine. I am not seeing Narada's name, and I don't think I saw it in MA2.
It should be in MA2.
It should be, but I don't remember seeing it.
No, poke your eyes down the bottom.
Oh, bang, there he goes. Sorry.
No he rating.
Yeah, he's got the number now, but the no rating. So, yeah. Big
what division?
MA2.
Okay.
I know they had signed up for him.
He's in the mix.
He's 100% in the mix.
Yeah. Whoa.
In the MP40, plenty of big names there too. So, Chris Villa, 998 rated from Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Classic.
And
it's a short hop over.
Yeah, exactly. If there's anything I know about ratings in America is that they're better than ratings in Australia. Yeah. We have a difference of opinion in Scar about that, but there's one thing I know. So he's like 1,030 Australian rated. Yeah. So there's no way anyone else beats him. This might be my dollar guarantee here. But some big names up there as well, too. A couple Canadians that are very high rated. Ryan Johnson's there, Nosy as well. Damien Malko, who shreds that course. So, yeah, big. Justin Clark as well. He can sneaky get up to a podium. He loves it there.
Loves it there.
But now, Chris Villa for me, a rating slut, and I just got to go with the big juicy one.
Yeah. look, the internationals coming over. I wonder if any of them or all of them are playing the Worlds or planning on playing any of the other big events in the next month.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm pretty sure all these names are going hopping right over after this.
Yeah.
And speaking of big names, we've got Casey Hennemeyer, 1017 rated, clear ratings favorite in the MPO. Canadian guy coming over, I'm assuming for the Worlds as well. Stanislas Amman?
Yeah, perfect. That's exactly how you
say it. 9-9 rated from Austria. So the two biggest dogs in the field are not Australian.
No surprise.
How do we think about that?
Well, is Dylan Feldman in the field?
Nope.
Is David Perry in the field?
Nope.
That makes it hard.
No Luke Bain either. Highest rated Australian is Blake Houston. But we've got a lot of the other familiar names. Jake Brady, Aussie D, Paddy Robinson, Timmy Bohan, and then the Melbourne trash of Deer, Hart, Howard, Dykes. And then a host of other names after that. I'm seeing Chris Saxby playing, and now he's higher rated than you. I just don't know how I feel about that. So
that's pretty uncomfortable.
I don't know how I feel about that. But big field, 28 players. What are we thoughts? Kalen, have you got any favourites coming out of this?
I can't not go chalked with Casey. That's like I'd be shocked if someone else gets it, to be honest, just looking at how that lines up. I'd be curious if we can get an Aussie in the top two.
Oh, big.
That, or yeah, could be interesting.
Yeah, I want to see, depends what Aussie D is playing. So you can never tip him in the tipping comp because he rolled away, especially here if things aren't going his way. You weren't here last year, but he took a big number on hole 18 because after the first one, on the final round, because after the first one didn't make it over, he just one stepped all the rest of them. And just kept going. It was big. He went from, I think, second or third to like fifth.
Yeah.
Just cause. Yeah. But he has the potential to, I reckon, even get the win. Out of the Aussies, that's my tip. I'm going with Aussie D, but I also assume that one of the foreigners will come scalpers.
Reinhardt, obviously susceptible to a six putt. What I'm asking of Reinhardt is, no, this is going to be hard, Ryan, but this is what I'm asking for. No three putts, no four putts, no five putts, no six putts. If you can just meet that goal and that goal alone, he's in the mix.
He's in the mix. He came third last year.
Yeah, he's absolutely in the mix.
He came third last year. Nah, he's picked on.
Yeah.
That's our preview. The course is mostly the same. Couple trees down, couple OBs. I think did we go over them already? I can't remember. It was so long ago.
Yeah, a little bit. Look, let's ask me about me.
Yeah.
All right.
What are you thinking?
So, I must have not lighted this 2 years ago if our potty had started, but it probably hadn't started. But I went back into the record books to see what am I setting myself up for here. Haven't, you know, outside of Green Jacket weekend, played a couple of tournaments there. I was like, all right, how did I go? Didn't play 2023. How did I go into 2022? Kaelin, have a stab. Give me over under. What was my score in MPO 2 years ago?
I don't know a thing about the score.
I can tell you that a plus two rates at about 950.
Okay.
Or did that.
Plus two rates 950. I know you're 940. Let's say you don't seem happy about it. Maybe you played at 920.
He was 956 rated then.
Okay. Yeah. So you played a horrible event. Maybe 10 over par?
10 over par.
It's only, what, three rounds?
Only three rounds.
You're hard tracking, to do much damage.
Tracking pretty good. Round one, Chris with a 946 rated plus two.
Okay.
Round two with a 931 rated plus four. Not good. Tracking in the wrong direction. But can we bring it back with round three, you reckon?
Of course we can.
837 rated plus 16. For a final score of, what was that, plus 22 and an event average of 905. Whoa.
Wowie, wow, wow. So when I looked that up and sent it through to the boys, I caught myself by surprise. That was an insight. I was like, okay, what the fuck happened there? So look, goals better than plus 22. Obviously, I don't play much disc golf anymore. But I'm looking, the course has got harder, and my best tournament round there is a plus two. If I can match that, I'll be stoked. But no, genuinely, I'm looking to get an under the card round.
Nice.
One under. Just give me one under on one of the rounds.
Yeah.
That's my goal. Let's see how that shakes out.
Well, I can tell you that you said you never parred hole two, but in your final round when you shot plus 16, you parred hole two.
No, that's not it. Is that, okay, you're taking into account the order?
Yeah, hole two.
Okay.
Yeah.
That we played that layer?
Maybe. Do they not change it back then? 17, 18? Was that over the water when you played? Or
nah? Nah, because look, 18's par 4.
Ah, okay, cool. Never mind.
Yeah, so it's like 4 or 5
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. That looks accurate.
Yeah. So no, I definitely have never parred it.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Fair enough.
That was the over the water hole.
You did go, bogey. Sorry, we went bogey, double bogey, quad bogey.
There we go. That sounds like hot soup.
That makes heaps more sense. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, cool. What about you, Kaelin? What's the goal besides get the win? Not sure.
There's not
to tell until you play.
Not heaps more of a goal. Don't injure the elbow or nice. Don't make it worse because I'm still feeling it. So that's really the important one at the end of the day. But I'd also be keen for maybe under the card.
Under the card, maybe. Sounds good.
One around,
sounds good. And should we do a bit of throwers guarantee then while we're here?
Yes.
You got anything particular at the moment?
Yes, I do actually.
Yeah, lead with it.
I want you to score me for a Narada Podium MA2.
Narada Podium MA2. You can help me out here with this one, Kaelin.
All right. All right.
See what you're thinking. The man's up and about. You got Henry, who's also good. Yeah, other than that, a lot of people that I think are not playing as good as he's playing right now. So I think that's very likely. I think in my head, he's like, he's not a 50-50 win, but he's a almost lock. I couldn't give you more than a 3 to come in the top 3.
Kaelin, you're liking that?
I know exactly where you're going.
So can I have a 7?
To not finish in the top 3. Yes, unfortunately you can have a 7.
Yes, that's what I'll take.
Yeah. I think he will. I think he will. The man's been good, so I'll back it in, that's fine. And I hope he plays as good as I think he'll play, and then you get 0 points,
correct?
Was now that the points are in him off, or you think he's going to be up there?
I think he didn't account for the fact that Narada's probably staying with Brett.
Nah, but he always is. That's fine.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Yeah. Don't let me down, Narada. He don't let me down. All right. Yeah, excellent. So, what would you give me for Kaelin to beat, let's say, one of the children? Joe Paul and Henry Arnold. What would you give Kaelin to beat one of them?
To beat just one of them?
Yeah. I can give you a bit of context. Yeah. If you are unfamiliar with Joe Paul,
yeah.
I'll have a look at the Queensland Open, which was the last one big he played, or last that I was a part of too. If I can. He's a national, and he's played a lot of tournaments this year. Pine Lines, Queensland Open, there we go. Oh. Looking the right one. This is good radio. Queensland Open. Joe Paul, down the bottom in MJ15, he finished with a -2 for the tournament with rounds of 961, 945, and 952.
What's his current rating?
His current rating is 915.
Okay.
And for context, -2 would have got him. Oh, no, they've played a different course.
Where does he reside? What is
He is a Perth boy.
Toowoomba, Queensland.
Nope. Yeah, not Perth.
All right. So he's not beating Henry, right? So what you're really asking me is to score you up again. So what score will I give him for beating?
You're not giving Henry. Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's not beating him. So I'm gonna say I'll give you. You know, they're pretty equal, aren't they? They are very equal based on that information. But he's not from WA. I'll give you a 4. I think I'm putting just ahead of
if Kaelin beats one of them. One of them.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, Kaelin? Do you think you'll beat one of them?
Alright. If I was Chris, I'd be giving you like a 6 or a 7.
Really? You're not backing yourself in?
Look, I want to. I think I can do it, but.
Well, I love it. Just, if you don't back yourself in, then neither am I. I'm going to take the 6 that both of them beat him.
All right.
Yes, 6 that Kaelin loses to two children.
Yeah.
And you've got 7 that Narada doesn't finish podium in MA2.
Yeah.
Big. Any trollers guarantees? I've got one. Oh, sorry, have you got a trollers guarantee for us, Kaelin?
It was going to be in a similar line of Joe Paul.
Oh, really? Fair enough.
I've got a trollers.
Lovely. What do you got?
I've got a trollers. You've got to tend me for this. I want myself.
Yep.
Top 10 MPO.
Top 10 MPO. It isn't the fattest MPO for you. But. So you're picking yourself. I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you.
I think that's a good one.
There's a lot of names.
Hopefully it's alive. The reality is it's fucking not alive.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll need to play like 960 golf to get in there. So I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Mine, I was so close to the back of myself in here. I was going to do on my actual bowler's guarantee something to do with me finishing like where I am in the ratings order, like a point for every position above it.
Okay.
But then I decided not to trust myself at all.
Okay.
So I'm much happier with not trusting Caleb as well. My bowler's guarantee though, I got to look at Matty Faz. So 882 rated. He is one of the highest rated ones in MA3. But I think there is a 0% chance he wins it. Like a 0% chance. Would you give me a 10 for Matty Farina winning MA3? I know it's kind of sketchy.
No, it's easily a yes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm thinking about making it even fatter for him. To like give me someone else that might even take him off the top two.
What do you mean off top two?
Like I'm thinking about if he gets top two, I might give him
a 10. Okay, yeah. Well, so, there's David Stevens who's 8.8 rated, and our man Alex Young Jackaway 8.84 rated. Matty Tulip, Eamesy, Russell Swanson.
We'll keep it a win.
Yeah,
100%.
Like,
I'll give Turbo, it to you.
Herbo's in that division. He's not been hurt. He's not been Kyle.
No.
Let alone the rest of everyone else.
Yeah. No. I'll give you two for the win. Yeah. I'm less confident on the two.
Sounds good. So we've got Matty Faz winning MA3.
Yeah.
And yourself coming top 10.
Yeah. What about you, Kaelin? Any trollers?
I'd like to put Alan up.
Yes. Yes.
Making chase card. Not even lead card.
Final day or Saturday?
Second or third.
Stage, making chase card.
Yeah.
On the weekends.
Mate, I live on chase card.
Yeah. I don't know if I would tend that up, but given that you're not active. No, but given that you're not in the race,
that's fine.
I'm tending that up.
Yeah. I like that you're calling that impossible.
Yeah.
You've got the spirit of the trollers.
I thought you were further down on the sheet than maybe you are.
He's quite far down, but he was very close to third last year.
All right.
I'm the ninth highest rated player.
Shut up then. Yeah. Let's call that lead card.
lead card, that's a 10 for sure. Lead card, yeah, there you go.
Beautiful. All right, let's. We're back to some receptions. So
sick.
Let's see if we can get a phone.
Morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Very well, man. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad.
What's the time right now in South Australia?
9 o'clock, whatever, the same, pretty much just half an hour different, however it works.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out if we'd hit there yet or not.
That's something that I should have to work out. I'm not smart enough.
Fair enough. You obviously not on the course yet then?
No.
You guys
we're starting slow.
Nice. Did you guys get out there yesterday?
Yeah, we got down at like almost 12.
Nice.
Beautiful. How are you finding the course? How are you finding the course? Did you dominate in your practice round?
We haven't played a practice round yet.
Oh, you got there yesterday. You got there like 12 at night.
Yeah, 12 at night.
Oh, I misunderstood that.
Partly because we stopped at like a country pub in Lismore and we ordered some palmers. They took like an hour. So that delayed us a little bit.
Ouch.
Chris got the Chinese palmer. And I think that might have been responsible for the delay.
Yeah,
no good. Who's with you? Who are you staying with?
I've got Ryan, Aiden, and Chris with me at the moment, but I don't know where they are. I know Ryan's gone off to the supermarket the second he called, so good on him.
That's right, we don't need to hear from him anyway. We're here to talk to you. What are you looking forward to for the tourney? Like, you got some expectations? Are you trying to get some revenge on some holes? Like, what's getting you G'd up?
What's got me G'd up is that I don't know how to lay up this year. Oh, I'm so excited to lay up. It was literally my first proper NBO tournament last year, and I ran every single part, and I couldn't count the amount of times I three-putted.
I've got the hole scores up here. Do you want me to do a counter? No. Yeah, we're having a bit of a look at how you went last year, and plus 11 overall got you into 7th place. Not your best this golf. Are you expecting to pump those numbers up this weekend?
Absolutely.
What holes did you win last year? Anything in particular?
Did I get or did I struggle on?
Nah, did you win? We don't want to hear about your successes. We're only here for the failures. Nah.
Yeah, I know. Trolls are sort of looking to put the little man down. I thought that was good comfort. What did I struggle on? I know whatever the snake pit hole is, I think it's top 14.
Yeah.
That hole, I had like two inside the circle putts that I putted to about 20 metres down the hill. So I'll be looking to, you know, maybe not run as many putts on that basket. What else did I really struggle on? I think it was just the whole course. Yeah. I just sucked then. And I still suck now, but I suck less.
Well, now you've got that top 5 in Australia forehand. That snake pit hole would be easy. You'd just be under the basket every time. Tap in early, so
I want to talk about the way you're ranking in the top 5. You're ranking in the top 5 based on results at majors.
Nah.
I don't think that's how you rank it.
I'm ranking them off. Yeah, sorry, you go.
I think you rank it based on ability.
Yeah, I'm just ranking them off whatever I feel like. And I don't feel like I told you Dave Perry's number one and there isn't a number two, so it's actually really hard to break into my top 5. Because there's only four.
Dave Perry's number one. I'm not taking number one.
Yeah, there's no number two, and then so we're gonna fill the other 3. And I'll just don't know if I found a spot for you here.
Yeah, I'll be using that episode you had Kaelin on as a little bit of fuel this weekend.
Excellent. That's what I want. If you get some tapping birdies on that snake pit hole, then maybe I'm wrong, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. The snake pit's where that top 5 is won and lost this weekend. Because that's, you know, that takes a good side up.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
That's a good hole.
Nah, beauty. Have you been doing any preparation specifically for this, or is it just losing to Ryan in Street League that got you going?
Yeah, I was losing to Ryan in Street League. My preparation has been doing uni work, so really, really exciting.
Now, well, what holes are you looking forward to then? We do like to hear success stories as well. So what's one hole that you're going to step up to that might be shit for others, but you're like, I'm going to get this because I'm a fucking jet?
I want to birdie all the forehand holes. I want to shoot under par. And I want to shoot under par this time. I didn't do that last year.
Yeah.
I want to beat Ryan.
Good. Good golf.
I've got Aiden here as well. I want to beat Aiden.
Yeah, easy. That'll be easy.
Best score in the house is an easy goal. I like that one.
Best disc golfer in the house.
Yeah. Well, who do you think actually, besides you, who do you think are the other chumps in your house will have the best weekend?
Little win, or?
Nah, just not the best weekend. None of you guys are winning, but.
Wait, I didn't hear what you said.
I said who will have the best weekend? So who's going to have the highest result out of all the guys in your house?
Know,
yeah, take yourself right, out of it, besides you.
Besides me. I'd have to see either Aiden is the one to pick based off form last year. I think Ryan Deere's due. I think he's due if he can get his head in check.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm gonna stay Ryan.
I like it. Yeah, like it's a good course for him. Hopefully he can get his little shit together and come all right.
Yep.
I've got on the Drollers Guarantee, I've got Kaelin, who's in the backseat here with us, not beating any one of the children, which is Joe Paul and Henry Arnold. What do you stand on that? You reckon Kaelin's got a chance against one of those children?
See, I know Henry Arnold. I don't think I know the other ones.
Oh, okay, fair enough. He plays in the MJ15s, and he's going to give Kaelin a touch up, I reckon.
I think Henry Arnold's a freak. As much as I back you on Kaelin, I think you're less likely to beat Henry Arnold than you are the other children that we're talking about. But I think you'll beat, was it, sorry, three children you're talking about.
Nah, just two.
Joe Paul and just Henry two. Arnold.
Okay, I think you beat the first one, and I think you don't beat Henry Arnold. I think you're in the middle.
Peak.
Okay. Peak. Thank you, Leo. I appreciate the confidence.
You're truly welcome.
Are you hitting up Scroll Queen this morning?
Do I do what this morning?
Scroll Queen. Are you going to Scroll Queen this morning on the way to the course?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I mate. Knew that's what you were going
to
say.
No way. You haven't been to Scroll Queen? You are missing out. Why would you even come to an eruption? Google Scroll Queen and head there on the way to your course. Pick yourself up a nice cinnamon scroll. You'll feel better.
Oh, okay. Food.
Food.
Sorry, a light bulb went up in my brain when you said that. I've got a big bowl of Just Right here, courtesy of Ryan, so I think that'll set me right.
Oh, well, you're missing out, but that's fine. Looking at the MPO field, pretty thick. Who do you see taking it out?
What about the MPO field?
It's pretty solid. Who do you think gets the W?
I feel like you have to pick the Canadian guy, based on, like, if you're looking at it purely based on rating, but I feel like, you know what, I want Dan Frost to win.
Hey,
is Dan Frost playing?
Nope. No? Nah, that'd be pretty big of him to get that done.
That'll be huge!
I want Dan Frost. I think I still want Dan Frost to win.
No, it sounds good. Sounds good.
I feel like otherwise, I'm not in the top 10, so I have no chance. I know Aiden and Ryan are in the top 10, so they have a chance. I feel like you have to go Blake, right? Like, the Canadian is the smart choice, but not a very fun one. Blake. Aussie.
Yeah, I'm backing in Aussie D.
Yeah.
No love for Ryan Hart. He got that third place last year.
He did get that third place. I don't know.
Nah, we'll find it. It's pretty. Yeah.
But if he loses to me at Invalid, then I don't think it's not a big open, but at Invalid Open, his home course. Yeah. That's my most recent indicator of his form.
Nah, yeah. Fair enough. Nah, he's trash then. Let's write him off.
Right. Well, I just got back. Any choice words for throttlers from anyone in the room? All three of them are in the room at the moment.
Yeah. They got anything for us, let us know. Any questions, any tips or advice they want, we're here.
give me some advice about putting later on in the room.
Nah, mate, if you got any specific questions, I'll help you out. I saw you walking around with Dave Perry at Street League, though. Were you getting a little information off of him?
Yeah, that's the idea, mate. That's the idea.
Yeah, if you could be half the man Dave is, you got a pretty good shot at this.
Yeah.
You ready to dominate here this weekend, Ryan?
What was that?
I said you are looking to dominate here this weekend?
Look, mate, I'm always looking to dominate. It's just whether it happens, that's the real thing.
That's why we love you, mate. That's why we love you. What hole are you looking forward to? Which one are you going to make your pitch?
Well, hole one made me its pitch last year, so I took a triple bogey on hole one last year, first round. So hopefully I'm going to sort of turn the tables there and... really reverse the roles. Yeah, I only played with one. Really reverse the roles.
Sounds good. Nah, me too. Me too. I'm going to pirate one of these days. That'd be big. All right, well, we might let these go. Has anyone got anything for him before we head out?
Go enjoy Scroll Queen. Stop being athletes. Get drunk every night and have a good time.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, guys. Bye.
All right, we had a couple more people that we were going to try to call, but reception was pretty janky on that. You guys probably couldn't tell, seeing as they couldn't understand anything we said. And we're getting close to somewhere we might actually stop and have a feed. So, yeah, sorry to the other guys that reached out. They said they'd have a chat. Yeah, Ash, Wayne Govan, Matty Hill. Appreciate it. But, yeah, we might just call it.
It's a pretty long pod.
Yeah.
And that was pretty janky. I don't know if people were picking up on it, but it was almost like Leo's bad haircut was coming through the radio waves. It was pretty hard going. So, yeah, no, I'm happy to give it a rinse there.
Oh, excellent. Well, we can't finish without some spotlight not light, so we'll get that away quick. Have you got anything for us, Chris?
Yep, my not light goes to 2022 Chris Runnels with his plus 22 eruption. That's really taken the wind out of my sails before this weekend. I wish I never Googled it.
What about you, Kaelin? You got any not lights?
I got to shout out the bullied. And their captain, who is now sporting an amazing wooden spoon bag tag that says, "Ask me how I got this."
Yes.
Apex. Oh, yeah, you were there for that, Chris. It's pretty fucking bad. So, yeah, when you see Aiden, ask him how he got it. we'll start with the not lights then. Mine has to go to the Wally's shirts. It was bad enough losing Sri Lee, but losing to that. It was trash. And they were expensive too, from what I've heard. They looked horrendous out there. A couple of the guys didn't even want to wear them. It was rough. So the Wally shirts was trash and should undo any good they did by winning the league.
Yep.
Any spotlights?
Any spotlights? None come to mind.
Caleb?
I got a spotlight, you two, for giving me a drive. Oh, hey. Lovely of you.
Oh, that's nice.
And not actually leaving me.
I'll give my spotlight to Alex Evans, Jace Wiedner. They both were there available for the Street League Grand Final, but were not required by their captain. And they were walking around. They're warming up, actually playing a little bit before the first round, but for the grand final, walking around, enjoying the action, still taking in the day. So well done on them on being great sports, and Doug and Janet also for showing up and having a watch of the grand final, even though they weren't in a team. But yeah, shout out to those guys. That's my spotlight, is you guys for coming and watching.
Jets.
Perfect. All right. Well. Potentially, we might have another pod out this weekend.
Yes.
There might be a drunk pod. Hopefully, too, we'll get some between two chains action. So
oi.
If you've somehow made it to the end of this pod,
well done.
And you got some between two chains questions, send them our way, and we'll get awkward with it.
Yes, love that.
But until then, yeah, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.